9 in verse 23, Jesus said to him, this was to a man who had come to Jesus with a difficult situation, an impossible problem. And the man comes to Jesus requesting help or assistance. And Jesus says to him, if thou canst believe, if you can believe, all things. Everybody say all things. All things. Look at your neighbor and say, that means your things. Whatever thing it is that you're facing or up against. Say it again, all things. All things are possible to him that believes. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Like many of us here today, he had faith, but he also was dealing with some unbelief. It's a common contradiction in many of our lives. It's a common contradiction probably in all of our lives. But in the next few moments of this service, God wants us to feed our faith. God wants us to give way to our faith. And if we will do that, his presence is going to move in this sanctuary and he's going to supply needs. Would you lift up your praise and your voices to heaven one more time in the name of Jesus, Lord? We ask that you would move and that you would work, that you would have your way, that you would increase our faith today. Oh God, let faith give way to the miraculous here this morning. Have your way in our lives and in our midst, and we will give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray, in Jesus' name, and let the church say amen. And you can be seated in Jesus' name. Was it the words of any ordinary man, but it was Jesus, the God-man, that made the declaration, the statement. He said, if you can believe, anything is possible. What an incredible statement. Not just an incredible statement, but when you understand the context, that he is looking into the eyes of a man with impossibilities. He is looking into the face of a man who is desperate because his son is hopelessly demon-possessed. And Jesus declares this word of faith. And Jesus declares this word of hope that anybody here today can latch on to, no matter what you're facing as well. That if you believe, anything is possible. What Jesus was saying to the man, and what I feel the Spirit saying to the church today, is that if you can believe, you can have a miracle. If you can believe, you can experience your deliverance. If you can believe, any mountain can be moved that is standing in your way. If you believe, the rivers of the Jordan that are standing between you and your promise can be parted. And if you believe, the glory of God can be revealed in your life. He said, all things are possible to them that believe. But this father's response to Jesus fascinates me. It's intrigued me for some time, the father's response. When Jesus makes this absolute statement to him that if you believe, anything is possible. This father looks at Jesus, scripture says, with tears in his eyes. He cries out to Jesus, no doubt conviction in his heart and sincerity in his spirit, I would assume, from the language used here. He cries out to Jesus and he says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I have faith, but Lord, I've got a little bit of doubt too. God, I want to believe that you're able to do this, but I really need you to help me with my unbelief. It's a common contradiction in all of us that there is faith mingled with doubt. That there is belief in our hearts sometimes at the same time as unbelief. What an incredible contradiction, doubt, and faith. The two seem to be mutually exclusive, but yet we find in this story that they are not. You would think that where faith is, there could be no doubt. Or where there was doubt in a heart, there could absolutely be no faith. But here we find them coexisting in the same man, and not just in the same man, as in he had faith this Sunday, but a couple of weeks from now he was going to be filled with doubt, or he had doubt on one occasion, but on another occasion or another service he had faith. But we find them, faith and doubt, in the same man at the very same moment. Doubt and faith. Faith is ready to receive the miracle. Faith is prepared to lay hold of the promise of God. Faith is prepared to reach out and grab hold of the hope and say, yes, God can and God will do it. Faith is prepared to see his son set free from the demons that were tormenting him. But doubt is there too. Doubt lifts its ugly head, and doubt says it hasn't changed yet. It's not going to change today. Faith says it's a day for a miracle, but doubt says, you know what, it's probably not going to happen. If you've never witnessed it happen before, and it's probably not going to happen today. Doubt tries its best to distract from the divine words and the divine work of God. Let me say that again. Doubt will always try to distract from the work of God. Faith rises up in his heart and he says, I believe, but yet doubt immediately throws a stumbling block and he says, but help my unbelief. Faith reaches out for the promise, but doubt rises up to be a hindrance that blocks that hope of promise in his life. What an incredible yet common contradiction. Faith and doubt, side by side in the same man at the same time. He's standing before Jesus and a miracle is within his grasp. Jesus has all but declared it. Jesus has just told him that it's possible. He's standing there with intense faith, but yet that doubt is there just equally as intense. It's an uncomfortable truth to digest that all of us have been given a measure of faith. But the reality of our humanity is that all of us also wrestle with our own measures of doubt. All of us, if we were honest with ourselves, I don't know, maybe there's one or two that you've never had a doubt day in your life. I doubt it. Maybe there's a few that you just come into this service and you know, the greeters were afraid to greet you because you were 6 inches off the ground just floating in. You were so full of the presence of God and filled with faith. I doubt it. But every one of us, while we've been given a measure of faith, when we hear sermons on faith, when we hear songs about faith, when we try to pray in faith, we have to wrestle with this contradiction in our own spirit that we have faith and we believe, but yet there's a part of us that still has just a little bit of doubt. We want to have faith in God, but yet we recognize our own capacity to doubt, and we struggle with it, and sometimes we discount ourselves from receiving the promise, or we exclude ourselves from the miraculous because we are wrestling with doubt. But I've come to preach to you today that faith is powerful enough of a force in your life. Scripture says it only takes faith as of a grain of mustard seed. Mustard seed, something that was so small, but the thing that Jesus was communicating is not that it's okay to have small faith, because at least 5 times he rebuked them for having small faith. The mustard seed, the lesson of the mustard seed was that something that begins small, if put in the right conditions, has the potential to grow into a gigantic tree. Something that begins as something so tiny can grow and can provide shelter and can provide calm for the birds and anyone that wanted to take shelter under that tree. And so what God wants somebody to know here today, you may look at your faith and see that it's small, but God wants your faith to grow in this service. God wants your faith to expand in this service. God wants your faith to recognize that he is able in the face of your doubts. Doubt was the Achilles heel, if you will, of his faith. He says, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Doubt has one purpose for existing. It exists to undermine our faith. That's all. Nothing good has ever come from doubt. Nothing good has ever resulted or been produced by doubt. Doubt never built anything. Doubt never achieved anything. Doubt never created anything. Doubt can't accomplish anything good in your life. Doubt doesn't fuel my confidence in God. It doesn't increase my desire for God. Doubt has no practical purpose. Doubt simply tears down. Doubt destroys. Doubt renders the hope of God sterile in our life. Doubt is that negative voice that casts a shadow over our hearts and our minds. Even when we sit in services like this and the faith-filled services we've experienced recently, it's doubt that casts that shadow, and it's doubt that wants to destroy the work of God in our life. You look through Scripture, it was doubt that caused Eve to eat of that forbidden fruit. The serpent attacked her with doubt and with unbelief. Can I tell you that just as it did in the garden, doubt will rob you of a walk with God. Doubt will distract you of the many blessings of God in your life. It was doubt that caused Cain to bring an insufficient offering to the Lord, and as a result eventually led to the murder of his brother Abel. Can I tell you that doubt is a killer? Doubt is a destroyer. It was doubt that kept Israel out of their promised land. It was doubt that sent them back into the wilderness. Doubt. It was doubt that saw their enemies as giants, and it was doubt that caused them to see themselves as grasshoppers in their sight. Can I tell you that doubt will always keep you out of the promise of God? Doubt will always try to keep you out of God's promise and his provision in your life. It was doubt. It was doubt that caused the rich young ruler to leave the presence of God with sadness and rejection instead of leaving with rejoicing and victory. And ultimately, we learn in Scripture that doubt has the potential to rob you of your salvation. Doubt has the potential to rob you of your eternal life in Him. It's doubt that brings a fog of confusion to our minds and our spirit. It's doubt that deals in the currency of uncertainty and causes us to question everything that we're told and question every time God wants to move. You've got to understand that nowhere is doubt ever of any benefit to a child of God. We've got to understand that it is faith, not doubt. It's faith that propels us to God's best for us. It is faith that lets us lay hold of the promise of God in our life. It's faith that lets us reach out and say, I believe that God can do a miracle in spite of my circumstance. It's faith. It's faith. When Jesus was at one point disgusted with his disciples, he said it a few times, but he said, oh, ye of little faith. He rebuked them by calling them people of small or little faith. And yet when he was moved to perform the miraculous more than once, he said, your faith has made thee whole. While the devil deals in the currency of doubt and uncertainty in question, the kingdom of God operates in the currency of faith. It's faith that reaps the miraculous power of God. There, you look at a man in Scripture named Abraham. In Romans, Paul speaks about Abraham's life. In Romans chapter 4, he said, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, verse 19 says, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. In other words, unbelief was there. Unbelief had potential to raise up, but he didn't waver or stagger at the promise of God. But verse 20 says he was strong in faith. faith, giving glory to God and being persuaded that he that had promised was also able to perform. What Abraham did was he hoped against hope. He weighed everything out against hope. He weighed all the evidence against his hope in God, and he decided to put his faith in his hope in God and not in the evidence. He surveyed the situation. He looked it over. He talked, it says it in verse 19, he looked at how old he was, and he looked at how old Sarah was. He said, it's not possible. The evidence says there is no way it can happen. But when he weighed out the situation, he made the conscious decision to put his faith in the hope of God. And he elevated his faith over his doubt. It didn't make sense. It wasn't the logical thing to do. But he made a decision to lift his faith higher than his doubt, to lift his belief higher than his unbelief. God said, you're going to have a child. And he says, all right, the evidence is all contrary, but I'm going to hold on to the word from God. I'm going to hold on to the promise from God. Instead of considering, being distracted by, and losing his promise to the evidence, he said, you know what? I'm going to consider the faithfulness of God. And watch this. Abraham had walked with God long enough for God to prove himself faithful time and time again. And so when he weighed it all out, I've got all this evidence, but yet I've got the faithfulness of God on the other hand. I'm going to rely on the faithfulness of God. I'm going to lean on the faithfulness of God. Can I preach to you today that if he's done it before, he can do it again? That if he's come through before, he can come through again. Abraham said, I'm not going to make room in my life for doubt right now. I'm going to hold on to the promise of God. The obstacles may be real. The obstacles may be in my way. But I'm going to hold on to the promise of God because he's come through time and again. He's been faithful. And so I'm going to put my trust in him. Hey, church, he's been faithful. We can put our trust in him today. We can put our confidence in him today. I know the obstacles may be real. The obstacles may be large, but our trust is in Jesus Christ, the one who is forever faithful, the one who has never let us down. My faith, my hope, my belief is in him. My confidence is in him. You've got to know that doubt will come. Doubt will come to all of us. It comes into every life. And often it comes at the same time we are feeling faith. Doubt and faith. Faith and doubt. It's going to come to everyone. In fact, it's in this. They're both in this service right now. I feel faith here, but I know that there's doubt here. No doubt there's doubt here. If there's humans, there's going to be doubt. If as long as we're flesh, there's going to be doubt. Doubt's going to raise up and say it can't happen. Doubt is like a spiritual parasite. It sucks the life out of God-given promises and God-given victories and potential miracles. We were in Vienna, Austria, a week ago on the missions trip, and listening to Brother Robinette, the missionary, tell of the great revival that he's been given there. It was astounding to hear him tell of how many people have told he and some of the other missionaries who are also having great revival in some of the European nations currently. It was amazing to hear how many people tried to discourage them and told them years ago that it was never going to happen, that Europe was a, he said, more than one person said, Europe is a burnt over field. There's nothing left. There's no harvest there. All you got to do is just go there and try to appease the saints that are there. Just try to keep those saints happy. But there's no harvest to be had in Europe. I thank God for missionaries that choose to believe faith in spite of the circumstances. I thank God for believers that say, you know what, I'm going to believe the word of God. Speaking of missionaries, it's good to have Sister Amber home with us, former missionary to Scotland. And watching all of this play out, he showed us how they had expanded the building. They're in a lease. They're in a leased building. They can't purchase any land. You can't purchase land in Austria until you are a religious organization recognized by the government. And you can't be recognized by the government until you have 10,000 members in one city and one church. So they kind of have you over a barrel there. So they rent this building. They've rented it for years. This many missionaries have served in this particular building where this church in Austria is. But he said the Lord started speaking to him about a revival that he was going to have in the Muslim community. And if people tried to distract the promise and the word of God from that there was going to be even revival among the regular citizens of Vienna and of Austria, they really tried to distract it from the word of promise that was given about revival in the Muslim community. Nobody's having revival in the Muslim community, they told him. Nobody's seeing a harvest among these people. It's just not going to happen. And the evidence was stacked against them. The evidence is still stacked against them. But without spending a lot of time going into a lot of detail over the last year and a half, I mentioned it on Wednesday night, over the last year and a half, they said somewhere in the neighborhood of 200, didn't they, Brother Brad? Somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 Muslims have been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost in that one church. I know it's a common contradiction, but I choose to believe in my faith. I choose to have hope in God. I choose to believe that the promises of God are yea and amen. We were there and we went door knocking. I mentioned this for those of you that were in the Bible study Wednesday night. Pardon the repeat, but there are many here that were not. We went knocking on doors and we went doing door-to-door evangelism. We went into these apartment complexes only to find out that there were only a couple of people in the entire complexes that were not Muslim. And some of the folks that we knocked on their door and asked to pray with them, they didn't want us to pray. To be honest with you, I was blown away at how the media portrays all of this going on and what we actually experienced on the ground. In fact, we talked about it on the way home from the trip. They were so loving and they were so receptive and they were so open. Even the people who there was a few people who wouldn't let us pray for them. A few of the Muslims wouldn't let us pray for them, but they still were very kind and they were still very nice to us, and many of them would let us pray, and we'd pray with them, and more than one time they would have tears streaming down their cheeks as they were feeling the power and the presence of God. The evidence says in our world today, that's not possible. That's not going to happen. You're in great danger. That's never going to be. That's what the evidence says, but I choose to believe that God is able. I choose to believe that as long as hearts are hungry, God's able to draw them, God's able to fill them. And so it was in that Sunday service, back up in the Saturday night service, they have a service in Farsi, which is the language spoken in Iran and a few other places in the Middle Eastern world. And there were many that were gathered there and that were worshiping the Lord. One of the things that jumped out to myself and some of the others, they were singing one of the songs. And the song says something like, "You are the Most High. You are the Most High God. There is none like you, Jehovah. There is none like you." And then there's a phrase in that song that says, "All of the other gods, they are the works of man." I know the evidence says that's probably not likely to happen, but I watched it with my own eyes, as did the others in the group. 40 or 50 Muslims, former Muslims, lifting their hands and worshiping God, saying, "All of the other gods." They grew up worshiping Allah. They grew up with the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad. But yet now they're lifting up their hands and saying, "All of the other gods, they are the works of man. You are the Most High God. There is none like you, Jehovah." Hey, I'm preaching to somebody this morning that the evidence may be against you. It may be stacked against you, but you've got a God that is faithful. You've got a God that is able. And if He's done it before, He can do it again. You got to make up your mind this morning. Am I going to let doubt distract me and get me to focus on my past problems? Or am I going to allow faith to let me adjust my eyes to the present, to the possibility? Doubt is always obsessed with past failures. Doubt is always obsessed with every prayer that hadn't been answered. Every prayer that wasn't answered. Doubt is always obsessed with what went wrong or what could go wrong or how it might not work out. But yet faith is focused on the faithfulness of God. Faith reaches out to the miraculous power of God and says, I know there's evidence against it, but I choose to believe that God can. Doubt thrives in testimony. Doubt thrives in evidence. Brought some extra preaching notes here this morning. Just kidding. These big old books, they just represent the evidence against your miracle. And doubt says, oh, come on. Let's talk about this. We've got this evidence, and we've got this evidence against the miracle, why it can't happen. And if that's not enough, would you look at all of this evidence, why God can't do that work in your life, why God can't deliver you, God can't heal you, God can't fill you, God can't use you. Just look at all of the evidence. But you see, while doubt operates in evidence, faith operates in testimony. Doubt says, no, it can't happen. It can't happen. Look at all the evidence. But faith says, wait a second. I know the evidence is against us, but here's one that it happened for over there. There's a testimony. And here's a testimony over there for somebody that it happened for. And I know the evidence is against you today, but let's look at some testimonies. Abraham said, God, you've never failed me yet. You've never failed me yet. David said, I've lived and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging bread. Faith says God is able because he's done it before. He's faithful and he'll do it again. Oh, somebody clap your hands and lift up a voice of praise. Somebody clap your hands and lift up a faith-filled praise to God. Some of you are needing miracles today. You want God to do a miracle in your life today. And you've been looking at all the evidence. You've been attracted to all the evidence. Don't let the enemy beat you up because there's doubt in your heart. Because there's doubt that all of us struggle with. But you have to make a conscious decision today. Like David walking down into the valley of Elah. The evidence was stacked against him. He's a giant. You're a runt. He's a man of war. You're a shepherd boy. He's got experience. You don't. He's got a powerful army. Your army is hiding and scared. But David looked at all of the evidence. He didn't ignore it. It was right in front of his face. But he looked at all the evidence. And he said, you know what? I choose a testimony. Because one day there was a lion. And another day there was a bear. And God showed up on my side. And so I choose to believe the testimony of the Lord. That if he has done it before, this Philistine is going to be no different. If he has done it before, God will do it again. And I declare to somebody this morning that if God has ever moved before, he's ready to move again. If God's ever done a miracle before, he's ready to show up again. Oh, somebody ought to clap your hands and you ought to praise the God that's given us testimonies. We give you praise, oh Lord. We magnify your name. We exalt you. We lift you up. Oh, come on, let's praise him. There is faith here right now. There is faith here right now. I know there's doubt. I know there's unbelief. But if you'll make a decision to feed your faith, if you'll make a decision to feed your faith, God is ready to show up. God is ready to show up. Oh, somebody ought to lift up your voice and praise him right now. Come on, let's worship Him for just a minute. If you need a miracle, you ought to just begin to entertain His presence with your worship. You ought to begin to magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt His name together. One way that I know to exalt my faith and diminish my doubt is to magnify the name of the Lord. And when I magnify the name of the Lord, my perspective changes. I see Him as bigger. I see Him as able. Lord, I know You're able to do exceeding abundant beyond anything I ask or think. Oh, come on, let's worship Him. His presence is in this place right now. There's a miracle ready to be given in this place right now. He's just looking for somebody to feed their faith. He's looking for somebody to deny your doubt and to step out in faith and say, Lord, I've seen the evidence, but I believe the testimony of the Lord. I've looked at all the evidence, but I declare the testimony of the Lord. I declare that God is still a healer. I declare that God is still a deliverer. I declare that God is still a home restorer. I declare that God is still a provider. I've seen the evidence, but somebody needs to step out and declare God's able to do it. Oh, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. We exalt You, Lord. We lift You up. We magnify. We worship You. If you need a miracle, you ought to just begin to stand to your feet and reach out to Him right now. If you need a miracle in your life, don't wait for anybody around you. Doubt looks for others. Doubt looks for moral support. Doubt looks and says, well, if they get it, maybe I'll get it. Doubt says, well, if they respond, maybe I'll respond. But faith says, just like the man, he says, Lord, I've got faith, but I've also got this unbelief. But if You'll help me with my unbelief, I want You to do a miracle in my life right now. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Come on, there is miracle power here right now. If you have a need in your life, you ought to flood to this altar right now. If you got a need in your family, you ought to flood to this altar right now and begin to lift up your voice to the Lord and just be as honest with God as that man in Mark 9 was. Lord, I have faith, but Lord, I've also got a little bit of doubt, and I'm asking You to help me with my unbelief. And if You'll help me, oh Lord, if You'll ask Him, He'll help you. If you'll ask Him, He'll help you. There was a miracle released that day for a man who had doubt and faith at the same time. Yes, 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 yes. There are several that are seeking and needing miracles right now. There's some that still need to come. If you have faith in your heart, I'm inviting you to come pray with some of these that are here. I declare this morning that God can, that God will. I declare to somebody that He's not finished with you yet. I declare to somebody that He will use you. He can use you. He will equip you. He is able. Oh, let your belief overcome your unbelief right now. I choose to put my faith in God because my faith is greater than my doubt. Come on, that's it. Lift up your voice and begin to declare it in Jesus' name. I declare You're able. I declare the miraculous. I declare the miraculous. Oh, You're more than enough. You're more than enough. I believe it in Jesus' name. I believe it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes.